This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel. So we have shared around some thoughts what this kingdom is, that Jesus came to establish. This kingdom is completely different to this world that Jesus came to establish. We also looked at the fact that the way to enter this kingdom from the world into his kingdom is through a thing called repentance, which is a 180-degree turn away from the world, a humble submission, surrender to Christ to enter into this world. And we also talked about what this requires is faith. We need to humble ourselves in faith in what God says and what God did for us. And so we want to continue with this, not just what the kingdom is and how to enter into it. It's interesting that the kingdom of God is so different. Jesus says that you can't enter it unless you're born again. You must be born again. You cannot come into this kingdom until you are born again. And unless you are born again, radically changed from this world, you cannot enter to the kingdom of God. We read of this concept of being born again in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus came to Jesus in the middle of the night. And Jesus had this conversation with him and says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we can only be born again if we believe. And this is the challenge of the kingdom and radically different to the understanding of the time. We see here Jesus says that we need to repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus continues to say in John chapter 3 that unless we believe, we cannot be born again. And so it is a challenge right from the start. And so we can ask ourselves, when Jesus says that you must believe in the gospel, what is the gospel? And we shared about the gospel, the good news, the fact that God sent his son to die for our sins so that we might be justified based on his works and not our works, that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not something that we earn, not something we achieve. It's something that God has done for us through the death and the resurrection of his son. And that gives us great assurance that our salvation does not rest on our perfection, but on his perfection and his acceptance of that sacrifice of his own son. And so we see that the gospel is the good news. But this morning, I want to focus a little bit on this concept of believing in the gospel. And why is faith so important? We see that the gospel is summarized further in this conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 16, which we know so well. Where Jesus summarizes the gospel, the good news, in this one verse. So many of us know it off by heart because it kind of says so much. It doesn't say everything, however, but in one sentence, a lot is already said that says, "For God so loved the motivation of God's heart that he gave his only begotten son at great cost. It was a sacrifice that God gave us, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish," which is a reality, "but have everlasting life," which is another reality. And so the gospel, Jesus explains to Nicodemus that you must not just be born again, but you must believe in the gospel that God loves the world, that he gave his son, and so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But before we go further, why is faith so important to God? Why does faith in the gospel save us? If we think about it, it's not the hearing of the gospel that saves us. It is faith in the gospel that saves us. It is our response to the gospel. It is not in the hearing of the gospel that everyone is saved. It is those who believe in the gospel that is saved. It is believing in the gospel that plays a central part in our salvation. Romans chapter 1 puts it this way: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. So why is faith so important to God? In Hebrews 11 verse 6, we read that without faith it is impossible to please God. But those who come to God must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So why is faith so important to God? One of the reasons is just to stand back for a moment and see what Christ came to do. Christ came into the world as the second Adam to undo what the first Adam undid for us. Christ came in as a perfect man, similar to Adam, who was created perfect. Therefore, Christ was born from a virgin, not from a man. So he did not inherit sinful nature, as we all did, but he came into this world perfect to become the perfect sacrifice without sin that became sin for us so that we may have life. He came into the world to undo what the first Adam did. Because of what the first Adam did, we came under a curse. Because of sin, there was a separation between us and God, and we couldn't enter into His presence without fear. And so Jesus came to deal with that, what separated us from God, to deal with our sin. But if we think carefully of how sin entered into this world, we see and we start to understand why faith is so important. You see, in the beginning when God created man in a perfect environment, He gave His word that everything in this world is for you and it's for your good. But there's one tree that you're not allowed to eat of it. If you eat of this one tree, you will die. And so God created man perfect in a perfect environment. But He created man different to the rest of creation. He created man for a relationship, and that particular kind of relationship is called love. And love without free will is not love. And so God made man different. God did not create evil or sin. He created free will. And with free will comes the possibility of rejection. And what rejection is sin. Rejecting God is sin. Rejecting God's love, rejecting God's word, that is sin. So God created man so that we can have love with one another. But without choice, there is no love, only instinct. And so God created man, and we understand that as we love one another, and our wives understand it when we proposed, and how special we feel when our husband chooses us above all the other women in the world. It makes love uniquely special because someone chose us above everyone else. And so God wants us to choose Him above everything else, and we see how God feels towards Israel when they go on after other gods, and He says, "But you are committing adultery against Me. Because you're choosing someone else above Me." So we see that God chooses to love us. It's not a feeling. It starts with a choice. Jesus didn't die on the cross because He felt like it. Jesus died on the cross because He chose to die for us. And that's the garden when Jesus pleaded with the Father, "My Father, My Father, if it's at all possible, take this cup away from Me. But nevertheless, not My will, Your will be done." So Christ chose to lay down His life. He chose to love us while we were still sinners. And so we see in the garden where God created the world perfect and gave man choice of everything in it and says it's all for your good except this one tree you should not eat of, because if you eat of it, you will die. And what happened in the garden at the fall is Satan came and he presented man an alternative. God says, "Do not eat, because you will die." And Satan came and says, "No." Did God really say you will die? "No, actually you will not die. This tree is good. It can make you like God, and you can choose for yourself what is right and wrong." So what happened in the garden is man was presented with an alternative to the Word of God. And at that moment, man had to choose who he's going to believe. Am I going to believe God that says, "Do not eat of this tree?" Or am I going to believe the devil that says, "Eat of it"? And ultimately, even though Eve was deceived, she suffered the same consequences, because deception is not an excuse for disobedience. And even though Eve was deceived, she ate of the fruit because at the heart of it was unbelief. She chose not to believe God. And Adam did exactly the same. Chose not to believe God, but ate of that fruit. And therefore we see, even in Hebrews chapter 4, we see that where the writer of Hebrews explains to us that even Israel's disobedience was because of unbelief. Even though they saw everything that God did for them, even though they saw God's great miracles that he performed for them in Egypt and throughout the desert, they did not obey because they did not believe. And so at the heart of sin is unbelief, not believing the word of God. Do not eat. Presented by an alternative, and we chose not to believe God. And so disobedience and sin ended into the world because we chose an alternative. Israel's disobedience was rooted in unbelief despite all that they saw God did for them. The Jews crucified Christ because of unbelief despite all they saw Christ did for them. But God, because He loves us, sent His Son to deal with our sin that separate us from Him, to make His Son, who knew no sin, to be sin, and poured His wrath on Him that we deserved, so that we can be free, to reconcile us to Himself and to give us eternal life. But this life, according to the Word of God, is only found in Christ Jesus and in no other. And the gospel is good news, because that what separated us from God is being removed because of His Son. But the same word also says, it's only in my Son. It is the word that declares to us salvation. And in the sense, the gospel places every man, humanity, back at the garden, because it's the word of God that says, this man, Jesus Christ, is my Son, the perfect sacrifice for you and me and all the sins of the world. And if you choose to accept my word and put your faith in Him, you will be saved, redeemed, adopted, declared my child, sealed with my Spirit, become a co-heir with my Son, and live for eternity with me. If you choose to believe what I say to you today. That is humanity in the garden all over again. We stand at the choice between life and death. And God says, choose life. Choose life. You can't earn it. You don't even have to. You must just believe me. Just believe me. And that is the good news. We don't have to earn our salvation. We can simply choose to believe God and His word, His testimony about His Son. Everything that we know about Jesus, we know because of God. No man revealed Christ to us. God came to the earth Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelled amongst us so that we can see and know for ourselves the truth. And so the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, so that no man is without excuse. So the Word of God says, life is in my Son. The gospel is the good news declared not only by an angel or a prophet, but by God Himself. It is His Word. We read in 1 John 5, verse 9 to 13, if we receive the testimony of men, and may I declare to you, my words to you today means very little. I trust that you hear His words and not mine. My testimony may have some value, but God's testimony has eternal value. And so we read, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in His Son and the Son of God has the testimony in himself. And whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has borne concerning his son. You see, it's the faith in the word of God. We're back in the garden. God says one thing, man is presented with an alternative, and we choose. And if we choose not to believe God, we declare that he is a liar. And the life is not in us. He continues, and this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has life. Whoever does not have the son does not have life. That is the word of God. It gives man the opportunity for life. And at the heart of the gospel is not just what God has done for us, but our faith in God and what he has done for us. The gospel puts humanity back in the garden. We have been under a curse for so long, but God sent his son to set us free, to give us rest and to give us life. And God says, this Jesus, he is my son, and he is the way to eternal life. And each and every man will stand before one God one day and give an account on what we chose to believe concerning the testimony of God. Not the testimony of man, not a clever theology or eloquent speech, but the word of God. Do you believe? Do you believe God's testimony about this Jesus? Because that's the only thing that will save you. His grace and your response to it. And in that great assurance that that's all that's needed for us to have life is to believe God and not the alternative. Oh, there are so many alternatives in this world. Even within the church, I find so many alternatives. But there's only one truth. It's so plain, it's so simple, it's so clear. God's testimony about Jesus Christ. Man will be judged based on this faith. We read John 3 verse 16. It continues there. Although we know John 3 16 so well. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for he did not send his son to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's God's heart. He doesn't want to condemn the world. He wants to save the world. But read on that it says, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. You see, at the end of the day, it boils down to this choice. Do you believe God or not? Do you believe God about his son, about his salvation? And this is the starting place. Matthew 17 verse 5, he was still speaking, and then behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's the testimony of God. And this is the starting place of our salvation, God's grace towards us by giving us his son, revealing this miracle to us and our choice to believe or to reject what he says. Faith in God, faith in his son, and faith in his word, which ultimately became flesh, and he is the Son. That's why Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything that was made through him. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men that shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. And it's that Word that became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so we're back in the garden. If John 3 verse 16 is true, and this is really my message this morning. If John 3:16 is true, then the rest of John 3 is also true. If you believe in John 3:16, that saves us, that secures us, that gives us assurance because of our faith in the testimony and in the Word of God, then the rest of John chapter 3 is also true because it's the same God that spoke those words. And it's not just the gospel that saves us, it's the life of Christ that saves us. And it's not just the gospel that we follow every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because it's the same God that spoke John 3:16, it's the same God that says, if you don't believe, you stand condemned. It's the same God that says the rest of the gospel. It's the same God. If we have faith in this Jesus, we have faith in His words, we also have faith in everything that He taught us. The reason we believe His words is because we believe that He is the Son of God. It is not the studying of the letters of the word that will save us. It's not in the studying and the understanding of the meaning of every word that grants us salvation. No, it is the knowing and this understanding of the person in the word, Jesus Christ, and our faith in Him as the Son of God, that only He has the words of eternal life. It is believing in Him and believing in His words. In John 6, later on we read, Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life and the flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Then we read later on, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know why I believe in the words of Jesus? Because I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe the words that He speaks is the words of eternal life. So I follow Him, no matter where He leads me, because I believe He is the Son of God. I believe He is the Word that became flesh. One of the greatest adventures for me is just to study the Word, just to read it, just to take it in. I often say when I do Bible study, how privileged we are to have the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospels. When we think about it, the Gospel says that if everything that Jesus taught and everything that Jesus did was recorded, we would not have enough books to contain it. Yet the Holy Spirit, in God's sovereign wisdom, decided that what we do have in the Gospel was preserved for us through the ages. And when we read the Sermon of the Mount, which Jesus preached the entire day, what was recorded for us is 5 minutes. 5 minutes of an entire day's worth of preaching. That 5 minutes are not there by mistake. It's not by mistake that the Holy Spirit chose to keep it for us. It's precious. When we read of the healing of the man in the pool of Bathsheba, or the blind man crying, or the guy in the tree, when it's recorded for us, it's not by mistake. Jesus healed thousands, 10,000s of people, yet the Holy Spirit decided to record this healing for us. A handful of healings. Why? Why, Lord, did You keep this for us? Because You're saying something to us. It has life. Nothing in the New Testament is by accident, is by chance. Nothing of Jesus' words are meaningless, are not applicable. It was recorded for us, and 2,000 years later, we still read the Word. 2,000 years later, churches all over this world preach the Gospel, preach the words of Jesus, sermon after sermon, and in it there is life. If you would hear it, if you would choose to accept it, if you would choose to believe, none of these things that Jesus said is by mistake. None of that what was recorded for us is meaningless. It has life in it. The same Jesus that said, if you believe in Me, you have life, said many other things also. Oh, now that I believe, now that I've experienced His love and His grace for saving me, I want to know the rest that He said. Now that I understand this great grace and salvation, His mercy, I want to understand the rest of what he said. And some of those things are hard to hear, hard to understand. But I choose to believe that he is the Word that became flesh and that he has the words of eternal life. And I want to know him. I want to know his ways. The kingdom of God is not just for one day. It is for here and now. This kingdom that Jesus came to establish, this kingdom that Jesus preached about, these truths that he declared to us, these parables, the kingdom of God is like. What shall a man compare the kingdom like? All these things, it's real. It's applicable here and now. Because I've moved from the world into this kingdom and I want to know this kingdom. I want to know how it works. Because in it is life. This kingdom is not just for one day, it's for today. Jesus preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He delivered the possessed. And then Jesus said, the same Jesus said, we must do the same. We must go and do the same. The same Jesus that preached the gospel, healed the sick, raised the dead, delivered the possessed, turned around and said to us, now I want you to go and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, deliver the possessed. It was the same Jesus. I believe this morning God is asking us two questions. First, he's asking us if we believe in him. Do we believe in God? Second question I believe he's asking us is, do we believe in his words? Do you believe that I exist? That I am the God that saves you? That gave my life for you? Created the universe, sustains the universe. Do you believe in me? For some of us, he's asking, do you believe my words? I want to show a DVD that I showed before, but it's one I love showing when I teach on faith at Bible school. But I want us just to look at this very powerful analogy of faith. When Jesus asks us, do we believe? This is a scripture that challenges me when Jesus teaches on prayer and that we must continue to pray and never give up. He tells a parable of the unrighteous judge and the widow that knocks at his door, pleads for mercy, and he doesn't want to open because he has no regard for man or God. But because he persists, the judge opens the door and he says, I will give her what she wants, lest she drives me crazy. And then Jesus says, hear the unrighteous judge. Will God not avenge his elect speedily, those who call out to him day and night? But when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? So what is this faith that Jesus talks about? Let's look at that clip, if we may. Tight roper, he hoped to accomplish something that no one has ever done, and on a pointed day in a tight rope he was stretched over from one side of the Nigeria Falls to the other one. This guy hoped to walk across the falls, for those who can't read that far. And when Bolden arrived where the crowds were lining on both sides, the Canadian and the American sides, thousands of people showed up to see if he could do this. And when he approached the edge of the tightrope, he put one foot on the tightrope and began to walk across step by step. Nobody has ever done this before, inch by inch. They couldn't believe it was possible that a man can walk over this falls. And he reached the other side and the crowd burst into cheers. And he announced, I'm going to do it again. he got to the other side, the crowds went crazy. And he said, I'm going to do it again, but this time I'm going to push a wheelbarrow full of rocks. And he rolled the wheelbarrow over the falls, which impressed the crowds even more. And he did this over and over, rolling the wheelbarrow back and forth. And finally he stopped in front of the crowd and asked, do you believe that I can do this again? And the crowd shouted, we believe you can do this again and again. And he responded, how many of you believe I can take one of you and put you in this wheelbarrow and roll you across? And everybody shouted, we believe. And then he dumped the rocks and he looked at the crowd and said, if you really believe, get in. No one accepted his offer. This morning, Jesus is asking the same question. Do you believe in me? Then believe in my words also. Do you believe that I can preach the gospel and see the lost saved? Do you believe that I can heal the sick? Do you believe that I can deliver the oppressed? Do you believe that I can raise the dead? Do you believe that I can do it again and again? Do you believe in me? I believe God is saying this morning, then get in the wheelbarrow. I want to do it through you. Again and again. This morning God is asking us two things. First, do you believe that I can do it? And secondly, are you willing to trust me? Do you believe my words that I will do it through you? I just want us to pray this morning. Father, I thank you that you have given us life through your Son. I want to thank you, God, that you have not just given us life, you sent your Son. Oh Lord, we could see how he walked this earth, how he had compassion over sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, those who are lost, like sheep without a shepherd. You came to your own, and your own did not receive you, yet it did not stop you from loving, sharing, preaching, healing, delivering. Lord, we want to thank you that we could see, that we can read what you have done for us. Oh Lord, this morning as you speak to us, God, I pray, Lord, if there is some of us here today, Lord, that you are challenging. You are challenging us as you bring us back to the garden. You say, my child, I love you so much. I don't want you to perish. I've sent my Son to deal with your sin, to take it away from you, so that you can come to me without fear and have life that I desire you to have. But you must believe. You must believe that he is the one. And if that is you this morning, I pray that you will just respond in your heart. If there's somebody here this morning and you know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you and you're back in that garden, maybe you've been believing an alternative. Maybe you believed once and as time progressed, alternatives was presented and you chose to believe a lie. God is speaking to you not because he's angry, but because he loves you and he wants you to turn back to him. And if that is you today, I just want you to respond by where you are. Just raising your hand and say, Lord, I choose today to believe in you, to give you my life and to follow you. I thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? You can drop that hand again. Is there anyone else? Just put it up. Thank you for those hands. Is there anybody else? Thank you for those hands. God sees those hands. And I want to ask you in a moment to do something bold as you put up your hands. I want you to do something very bold, that you will choose to put your faith in Jesus, as you respond to him, in a moment I'm going to ask many people to come forward. And as you've raised your hand, I want you to come forward and we want to pray with you. We want to seal this decision that you're making today before God and witnesses, that from this day on, you will not be a slave. You will not be a sinner, but you will be a saint. You will be a child of God, accepted into his family and loved by God forever and ever. And then there's some of us here this morning, God is challenging us. You believe in him, but you are struggling to believe in his words. Oh, God wants to encourage you. If you believe, I can do it again and again. For some of us, God is challenging us to get in the wheelbarrow, to put our faith in him, not just his salvation, but in him. Not just in what he has done for us 2,000 years ago, but what he wants to do in and through us. And maybe you're here this morning and God has been speaking to you. And maybe you've been challenged by healing. Maybe you've been challenged by deliverance. Maybe you've been challenged by just sharing the gospel. I believe God wants to impart some faith and boldness as the disciples came to the Lord often and prayed and said, Lord, may you grant us boldness to preach the gospel. If that is you this morning, I just want you to respond by raising your hand and say, Lord, I need boldness. Lord, I want to increase in my faith. Lord, I want to get into the wheelbarrow today with you so that you can work through me. You see, if we believe, we will preach the gospel. If we believe, we will pray for the sick. If we don't believe, we will not even try to pray for the sick. If we don't believe, we will not preach the gospel. If we don't believe, we will not share. But if we believe, we will speak. If we believe, we will pray. If we believe, we will ask God for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that says that I have empowered you to be witnesses. I've anointed you with my Holy Spirit. And I've given you gifts so that you can be an effective witness. If we do not believe, we won't even ask him for the gifts. If we don't believe, we won't even start to pray for the sick. If we don't believe, we won't even share our testimony. But if we believe, we will ask him and he will help us. And if that is you this morning, if you've raised your hand, if you want to respond to the Holy Spirit this morning as he speaks to you, I just want you to come forward. Everybody that raised their hand, I just want to ask you to quickly come forward and we're going to pray with you. Just where you are. Just come forward. Those who are responding to salvation and those who want to be emboldened, empowered, who wants God to just fan the flame, help you in your unbelief. Like that man that came to Jesus, say, Lord, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. God responds to that. So I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, if you want to respond to that, just quickly come forward. The band's going to minister to us, but I want to ask the facilitators to come and help. But if you raised your hand for salvation, please don't hesitate. Come, we want to pray with you. If you want to be emboldened, if you want to be encouraged by the Holy Spirit to step out, maybe the Lord has been speaking to you, I want to ask you to come forward and we're going to pray with you. The rest of us, let us just stand as we worship together. If not raised your hand, you want to come forward, please do so. We want to pray with you. For the facilitators, please just ask whether they're here for salvation. Or whether they're here to. And I want to make an altar call also. If you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you've heard about this. This is the Word of God. This is the same Jesus that said, this is the John the Baptist that started by saying that this is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus that said, if you ask the Father, he will give you the Holy Spirit. This is the one that imparts that. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, I want to ask you to come forward also, and we're going to pray for that. Because it's not about just salvation. It's about the kingdom here and now. It's about the power of God in us now and through us to advance the kingdom, to spread the gospel. It's when Jesus said, when you go out, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. When Jesus delivers the oppressed, he said, the kingdom of God has come. This is what the kingdom of God is. It's not just where we're going one day. It's what we have in this day. And Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to equip us, to be witnesses so that his kingdom can come and his will to be done. And if that is you this morning and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you also to come forward and we're going to pray for you. We're just going to sing a song and And as we do so, just make it an opportunity. Use it as an opportunity just to respond to God in your own heart. Just respond to His word, what He has shared with you, that what strikes you in your heart, just in your own words. Just respond to Jesus, just where you are, as we worship Him.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.